Just the other day, I was talking to Linda in the kitchen, and she was baking or doing something, and she had the retro channel on, and Leave It to Beaver was on, scene from Leave It to Beaver. And there was Beave with his dad and mom, and you know how it goes. And so, Beaver, you see why what you did was wrong and why this is for your good. And yes, Dad, and I'm sorry, sir. And Wally, yes, sir, calling him sir, you know. And you're looking at that. And I grew up in the 50s, so I sort of remember that. You look at that, and then a day later, I just getting online on AOL to sort of check the news. I read an article about three brothers in Minnesota who killed their mother on Christmas Day. They hid her remains for months until the ground would thaw out, took her to South Dakota to try and bury her. 17 years old, 18 years old, a half-brother 25 years old, strangled her. And you have to ask yourself, what abusive thing did this mother do to these boys to cause them to go into this rage? And the sheriff said, it's a very strange thing. She wanted to play Yahtzee, and they didn't. Think about that. They murdered her because she wanted to play Yahtzee, and they didn't. We think about how far we have come in terms of respect between children and parents, elders and youngers. But there's a sense in which it shouldn't surprise us, because one of those shocking passages of Scripture, I don't know if you know who Howard Hendricks is, but Howard Hendricks was once preaching at a church. And he was preaching a Mother's Day sermon. And he was preaching on 2 Timothy 1, where it says, your grandmother and your mother Lois, who had this faith that you have. And so he sent the scripture lesson, and the minister stood up to read the scripture lesson, and he read, for in the last days, they will be lawbreakers and rebels, ungodly and sinful, unholy and irreligious, those who kill their mothers and their fathers. And that was read on Mother's Day, and it was 1 Timothy instead of 2 Timothy. And he said he stood up, and, you know, he had to sort of calm the mothers down, that that wasn't what he was preaching on, you know. But you think about that. In the last days, things will get so bad that children will kill their mothers and fathers. Now we look at it and say, oh, surely the end times must be here. We don't know that, but we see kids walking around constantly with iPod earphones, do we not? We don't always know what they're listening to, but a lot of the music that kids listen to today have lyrics about killing their parents in them. This is the culture we live in. And if you'd preach about this in the 50s, it would sort of fit into the context. Oh yeah, we know that, let's just keep trying to do that, you know. But when you preach this passage I'm looking at in the context we live in, there's a real disconnect. I'm just going to look at a fragment of verse 5. Peter says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Now, we've got to ask a lot of questions about this text. It's fixed four words in the Greek language, and so, you know, it's interpreted in different ways by translators. The New King James, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. NIV, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. The ESV, you who are younger, submit yourself to the elders. See, each one of those is a little different, exactly what's being said. Now, what I want to say this morning is simply this. Young people, God cares for you. And God shows that he cares for you by giving to you appropriate commands. Commands appropriate to who you are, where you are in your life, because he loves you. Okay? I mean, the younger adults in the church are to respect the person and opinion of the older people in the church and be in subjection to the elders of the church. That's sort of the big formal thing that is being said here. And I always like to ask texts a question, you know, why are young adults to behave in this way? Why is he saying this? And I think as we look at the scriptures, we see that God commands this of younger people in the church to assure proper order and peace in the church due to the tendency of youth in general to disregard the wisdom of age and to often despise those who are in authority over them when they don't like what they're being told to do. It's part of the fallen human condition, is it not? So I want us to look at this passage, think about it. I've spent 4 weeks preaching to the elders. Some of that overflowed to everyone else, but I had a lot of tough things to say to the elders, myself included, about how we are to live and why we are to do the things that we are to do. And now he takes this fragment of a verse before he gets into the grace that enables all of us to live the way God wants us to live. First of all, see how God cares about you. God cares for young people in this church enough to address you directly. Do you ever think about that? That's sort of a simple thing as we look at this text. But he addresses you directly. He says, you elders, do this and this and this. Now, you young people, this is what you should do. He cares enough to speak right to you. He could just not say anything and let you fend for yourself and suffer the consequences of constantly making the mistakes that he can warn you of in the scriptures and that he does warn you of. He loves you and cares about you, and that's why he addresses you. So now we have to ask ourselves, what does he mean then when he says young men? The Greek word's just younger in a sense. You young men or younger men. It's a comparative word for someone in their 20s or 30s being compared to somebody older than that, maybe 20s to 40s, maybe younger than that. It's tough to get our hands on as the Greeks use it. But the Greek word, its root is neos, and we get the word novice, neophyte from it. That means somebody who's young, somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience. And it's in the masculine, so you see it translated younger men, but I tend to agree with the Greek scholars who say that it is probably a genetic term for young people. You know, I was kidding Bob about the gender-specific Bibles. They're coming out with new versions of the NIV and that are going to try and get rid of these gender words. And when it says men among you, it'll say people among you. See, it's a wrong thing for us to address everybody using the word mankind. We have to say man and womankind. Well, the Bible doesn't do that. The Bible, in the terms of its culture, people knew when you're saying that word, it's a generic word. It means everybody. We live in a sensitive, politically correct time. And so, we would like it to speak to everybody. And I think about that. Well, God does take the time to speak directly to young people, and he does that. So I think in a sense we have to get over this objection to these generic male terms, and we just have to understand them in their context. And when we do that, we won't have a problem with it. But he addresses these young men, and then he speaks to the elders. And that word is presbyteros. It's the same word we saw in verse 1, to the elders among you. You know, the official men, a name for men who God chose to lead the church, we call them the session. And it seems that that would be the natural meaning of it in its context. But it can mean older people in contrast to the younger generation. It can mean that. And I agree with those who say it probably has a double meaning. A Brown Driver and Briggs, very, very good Hebrew scholars in their lexicon say that it probably doesn't just mean older people, but it means older people and the elders as well. It's sort of a double meaning to it. In other words, he's not saying respect the elder officers, but then you don't have to respect those other older people in the church. He's not saying just respect those older people in the church, but don't respect the elders. think it covers everybody, does it not? So we conclude, I believe, that Peter is addressing young adults about their attitude and behavior toward older Christians, and especially the older Christians who are in authority over them. Okay? So then the question is why, right? And I think one of the things to think about is that God shows his care to you by giving you appropriate instructions that are tailored for you. He does that. He knows us. He knows what we need to hear. I mean, why are the older singled out in this passage? Why are these groups emphasized? Well, elders, older. I think one of the reasons is that it's because in God's economy, age is considered a source of wisdom that's worthy of respect, and the leaders should be chosen among those who are older and have more experience because they have wisdom and they have experience of age. And so he's speaking about them in the church context specifically. I think of Leviticus 19:2. It says, "Rise in the presence of the aged." I don't know if you've ever read that passage, Leviticus 19:32. But this is God's word. I don't think you're necessarily talking about something that's Old Testament and has been done away by Christ fulfilling the sacrificial system. He's laying down in this passage various laws, we are told. And in 19:32, he says this: "Rise in the presence of the aged and show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord." It's interesting, he puts it in between, don't turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, and when an alien lives in your land, treat him as somebody who is native and love him like I loved you in Egypt. So he puts it right in the midst of that, and he says that you ought to be respectful, that when an older person walks in the room, stand up to show you respect. Think about our culture today. I mean, you walk in a room and standing there with their socks off, picking their feet, looking at you, and who cares? You know, it's this disconnect of culture. But we look at the scriptures. The scriptures are communicating something. And you say, well, I have to always stand up. Well, maybe you don't have to stand up, but there's this aspect of respect. Another thing we see is that old age was greatly desired and regarded as a reward of piety and a token of God's favor in the scriptures. Abraham is promised old age as a blessing in Genesis 15. Let me go to two verses. One of them is Isaiah 65:20. We find statements like this in the Old Testament. But in Isaiah 65:20, we read this: "Never again will there be in the land an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who doesn't live out his years." And so we see there it's a great blessing to the land when somebody lives to an old age. Now Zechariah Right now, Zechariah is up in heaven going, "Pastor Young, why don't you know where my book is?" Here it is. Zechariah 8:4. This is what the Almighty says: "Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with a cane in his hand because of his age." And then he says the streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. He's saying it's a blessing of God in the society when you have the elderly and you have the children. They're blessings of God, and so the elderly are seen as a great blessing. We think of our culture where, in a certain sense, the elderly are seen as a liability. People who are older, they don't understand the digital generation. They're sort of a burden to us. But we also see that the scriptures tell us that superior wisdom was seen to belong to the elderly, and we see that in Job 12:20, there's a statement that tells us this in sort of a negative way. In Job 12:20, we read this: "He silenced the lips of trusted advisors and takes away the discernment of the elders." There it's talking about when God judges, he takes away something that is normal and something that is a blessing. In Job 15:20, God says this: all his days the wicked man suffers torment, and the ruthless through all the years is stored up for him. We are told there in the scriptures that the elderly have the wisdom of age on their side. They don't have physical strength, but they have wisdom. And it's out of the ranks of the older men that the leaders of God's people are always chosen. That's one of the reasons why when Bob read that passage today, we see a choice between accepting the counsel of the elderly or the counsel of the young. And in Numbers 11:16, when Moses is told to choose elders, he is told to choose elders out among the people who are known to be elders, who are known to be wise, who are known to be older, and they have experience. Now, this isn't, we have to understand this, this isn't the universal given, but it's a general truth, is it not? There are always those ungodly and unteachable older people who we shouldn't follow and obey. But that doesn't mean necessarily that we shouldn't show a certain amount of respect to them. You know, I grew up in a very abnormal home. We lived in a hotel with a bar room. We ate in the dining room. I did my homework in the dining room. I have pictures of that. I was showing to the guy that owns the hotel, and he wanted to see how it was laid out in the old days. And I got a picture of me and my brother doing our homework in the dining room. And it was where we grew up. And we were in the bar room all the time, going in and out and interacting with the people. And if you know of the Andy Griffith Show, Otis, you know, the town drunk? Well, every town has one. And we had several. We had two specifically who were in our bar all the time. And they used to give them hot foots and play jokes on them. But we, as children, were required to call them Mr. and to call them Sir. And my father drove that into us. He didn't necessarily follow their example and spend my retirement days in a bar room. But they were older than me. And then I was to address them with a certain amount of respect, even if I didn't follow their ways or listen to their counsel. Proverbs 16:31 says, "The gray head is a crown of glory if it's found in the way of righteousness." If it's not found in the righteousness, then it's not an honorable thing to listen. Ecclesiastes 4, "A poor yet wise lad is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction." So you see that biblical balance. It's one thing to obey a foolish old man. It's not obey him when he tells you to do something foolish. It's another thing to show a disrespect. Now, what about the young people he singles out here, the young men? Why are you singled out? Why does God have Peter write a letter that would eventually be read in this church, and it would say, "You young people, why is he singling you out?" And I think there's a reason. He's singling you out because of the tendency of youth in general, to disregard the wisdom of age and to despise authority. It's, you know, and you might say, "Well, that's, my kids aren't like that, yada, yada, yada." But we're talking about a general principle in a fallen world and how it expresses itself in different generations. And Proverbs 20:29 says this: "The glory of the young men is their strength." It doesn't say the glory of a young man is his wisdom. It's his strength. You know, to have that strength, but then that strength needs to be directed by the wisdom that they don't always have. Elder Bob Scott read that passage for us today about Rehoboam. You think about Rehoboam. Jeroboam tries to take over, and God in his mercy, in a sense, deals with that. And Rehoboam has his rightful throne now. And so he goes to the elders, and he says, "What should I do?" And they say, "Your father was pretty tough on us. But if you slack off a little, the people will love you, and you'll have a wonderful kingdom." And then he goes and he talks to his young advisors. And they tell him, "Hey, you got the power. You know, tell him you think my father was strict. We're really going to ratchet it up. We're going to tax you more. We're going to do this." And it divides the kingdom. And you think about that. And it's not something that's unique to that time. I remember, anybody know who John Sebastian was? John Sebastian and the Loving Spoonful? Well, he sang a song at Woodstock called The Younger Generation. And it began by saying, how come every generation thinks its folks are square? And they know wherever their head is, dad's not there. And then it goes on to talk about all these differences. It's just the way it is. And I think that as you hear this, you need to not think that the pastor's picking on us or whatever. This is what God says. God loves us enough to tell us that. God loves us enough to say, if you are young, you think you know more than your parents. If you're young, you have a tendency to despise your parents' authority over you when they're trying to make you do something you don't like, but they know is best. But we look at that and we say, that's because God loves you. Every command he gives us is because he loves us, okay? And so take it that way. God says that the elderly are his love gift to you, the older saints in the church. Which brings me to the last thing that I want to say, and that is that God wants you to obey your elders and respect their person and their opinion. You see, God shows that he cares for you by giving you clear instructions about this time in your life. And his clear instruction to you is, be in subjection to the elders of the church and respect the person and the opinion of older Christians and older people who are in your life. First of all, you're to obey the elders of your church. We look at verse 5, and we say it talks about those who are older. We have to say, some say, well, he's just talking about the elders. I'd say if he's not just talking about the elders, but he's talking about all the elders, then he's talking about the elders, is he not? And he talks about being submissive to those who are older. And I think when you talk about parents, teachers, those people who have you in a situation where they have authority, where they can say to you, do this, and if you don't do it, you're gonna be disciplined, you're going to be in trouble. And he uses a Greek word that means to place yourself under a person, literally to obey them when they have the authority to tell you to do something. And you might think, that's a little below me. That's demeaning. And we have that in our culture today. I want to read a passage to you. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You know who that's speaking about? The Lord Jesus Christ in his boyhood. He who was the Son of God, and as the song says, he could have called a legion of angels to deliver him from the cross, was submissive and in subjection to his parents and obedient to them. But I think, as we look at it, we see it having this meaning in relation to your elders as they rule. Hebrews 13 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. And I've spent 4 weeks talking about that. But I think it also can mean to yield to the opinion or the will of somebody. Think about Ephesians 5:21. Submit yourself to one another. And this I want us to understand. Submit yourselves one to another. I mean, here it applies to the advice or concerned counsel of others. Now, there are people who aren't necessarily in a position of official authority over you, but they're wise in age and they're correct in their counsel, and they come and they give you advice. And we are not ever to just disregard that. Who are you? You're not my father. You're not related to me. And just despise the person because they have shared some wisdom with you. And so I think he's saying that you have elders in the church who there comes a time, sometime, when they have to tell you that this is what God's word says. You come for counsel, whatever, and that's what you're to do. And there are other times when, and they even have the power of discipline in terms of church discipline. Your parents can do that, and they have the power of discipline over you. But then there's just some elderly saint in the church who shares with you a concern and some wisdom. They don't have any discipline over you, but they deserve your hearing them, and they deserve your respecting them, and they may even deserve your doing what they have told you to do. It takes humility to do that. And I think God shows his care as we look at this passage by treating you as significant in the church. Look at verse 5 when he says, likewise. You see that? In the same way or likewise, depending on what translation you have. Young men, in the same way. What's he saying? It's referring to verses 1 through 4. So he's saying, in the same way, young men, you shepherd and oversee. No, he's not saying that. What he's saying is, in the same way the elders in the church are to be obedient to God, and when they carry out their duty and when they obey God, they're to do it for certain reasons, in a certain manner, with a certain demeanor, with certain motivations, he's saying to you, you too should submit to the authority of those who are over you, willingly and not reluctantly, eagerly and not for selfish motives, to be an example to others, especially younger brothers and sisters, and as one who's going to give an account to Christ. But the amazing thing, and I don't want any of the young people in this church to miss this, the amazing thing is that God speaks to the elders in the church, and then he turns to the young people in the church, and he says, now, in the same way that I've spoken to the elders, and I care about them, and they are significant in the church, I care about you, and you are significant in the church, and so therefore, you obey. And so don't feel like you are secondhand citizens in the kingdom of God because you're young. But we all have different roles, and we will only find that blessing. So you are to be concerned about the attitude of your heart to older Christians as well as your outward actions. And the reason is that it ensures proper order and peace in the church and in your home and in society. People look at a Christian home and they see respect. And they see obedience. And it's a witness. And we need this so much in light of what's being taught. I read an article about a woman who wrote a book and developed a course for school that was called Weep for Your Children. It was a course called Dimensions in Personality, and it was taught in grades 4, 5, and 6. And the reporter went on to say that it demotes and patronizes parents when it isn't showing them to be mean and lacking in sensitivity to the child's feeling. Parents are pictured as holding foolish and false values, and children are told their parents lack the skills to be good parents for these modern children. You know, but we're light of the world, are we not? And we are the salt of the earth. And we're to expose the sin of the world and point them to the Savior who always did his Father's will, and we do that by the way we live. We are not to see our children or the younger generation as further along the evolutionary chain than us, and therefore more advanced, and therefore not in need of our counsel, and in need of the oversight of the older generation, because what we know is passé and doesn't matter anymore. And that's sort of the attitude that's throughout our culture. So I'll say this, young adults, those who are young and raising children, don't be a Rehoboam and go and get advice from you know, your young contemporaries and not seek out the advice of those who are older and have raised children and can help you. Like, oh, they don't know the new ways and the new struggles. But they raise children who are respectful. They raise children who know how to say please and thank you. They raise children who know how to control themselves. And so we need to go to them and ask them, help me, give me wisdom. I'll say to the older generation, be godly. Don't rest on your laurels and be teachable. Think of that passage. The older ladies should train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. That's your role in this whole strata of authority that God has given us. Now say to the children and to the teens that are here, you know, who are you listening to on your iPod? Who's filling your head with how you ought to act and how you ought to feel about your parents and those in authority over you? Are you listening to the scriptures and listening to the things that God tells you? Because he cares for you and he wants you to have a blessed life. And I want to say to you, if you're here in the midst of us and you don't know Christ as your Savior, who do you belong to? The Scriptures say that you belong to God and you are submit to your elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, He who died on the cross for sinners. And He's not your Savior if He's not your Lord. His sheep hear His voice and they obey Him. And you need to look at yourself and look at your attitude toward authority and your own role over your own children and ask yourself, does it betray that I'm following my own way rather than the Savior's? That word for submit literally means the apron of a slave. And I think of our Lord who took off that piece of cloth and wrapped it around Him and washed the feet of His disciples, serving them. So, remember the young people walking around, listening to their iPods? As I spoke in the beginning, how did we go from Leave It to Beaver to killing your parents over a game of Yahtzee? What's happened to our culture? I think it has to do a lot with what people listen to, where they get their truth. But I think of the Roman Empire, a place where the common and the old were useless. You know, the barbarians came down and conquered Rome, and the elderly weren't strong enough, and only the strong survived when that happened. Yet an amazing thing happened, because there walked a group of young people in the Roman Empire who were listening to a different song on whatever version of the iPod they had back then. And they were Christians. They were listening to the Word of God. They were hiding the Word of God in their heart. And God used them to conquer the barbarians. And for over 1,500 years, Western society became a place where there was care and respect for the elderly in Europe and then as it fed in to the New World in America. And so I'd ask you, what are you listening to? Whose voice is in your iPod? Are you hearing, kill your parents? Or are you hearing, respect and submit to your elders because I love and I care for you? Let's pray. Our Father, as we work consecutively through books of the Bible, we come to passages that aren't always pleasant for different groups of people in the church, myself included. It's hard for me at times to hear passages that speak to me about what I'm supposed to be like when I know I'm struggling or when I know outwardly I'm displaying it, but inwardly I'm resenting it. Lord, we all struggle with that. And today this passage is directed to the young among us, but it's also directed to we who are older, because we're told to be respectable. And we are told to be loving, even in discipline, so that we do not engender disrespect because of our sin. And so, Father, help us as older Christians and the elders of the church to be Christ-like. But I also pray for the young people in this church that whether elders are Christ-like all the time or not, they are called to be Christ-like. And they will not stand before you and answer for the sins of their elders, their parents, the senior citizens in this church. They will stand and they will answer for their sin. And so help our young people to love your word, to love the role you've given them at this time in life, and put up that strong faith that will believe that you are right when you say to them that they have to very often not trust their own judgment and opinion on things, but to trust their parents and those who've lived longer. And it's an act of faith. It's believing and doing that when they don't think it's so because of what they see. So, Lord, help us. Help us as a church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand together. We will sing 672. 672. 652? Sorry about that. 652. Sweet lesson to obey, sweeter lesson cannot be. Loving him who first loved me, with a child's glad heart of love, at thy bidding may I move, prompt to serve and follow thee. Loving him who first loved me. Teach me thus thy steps to trace, strong to follow in thy grace, learning how to love from thee, loving him who first loved me. Love in loving finds employ, in obedience all her joy, ever knew that joy will be, loving him who first loved me. I want to read the question at the bottom of the outline and then pronounce the benediction. When I disobey or disrespect my church elders or adults, who am I really disobeying and who am I really disrespecting? I'd ask you to think about it. Take the Lord's Day to think about that, and for we as adults to think as well about how we can make it easier or more difficult for those under us to be respectful. Receive the benediction. It is God's promise of grace to all of us to love him and carry out the duties he's given us in love. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. Amen.